Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. This is more or less an announcement than it is an episode. I'm very close on completing a full year of the calendar that I'm on or I follow. I'm up to like 7 months, but the website for this calendar is almost done. It's little kinks and stuff is being worked out. I'm adding icons, like little decorative stuff for the calendar. It's going to be in like in the Gregorian form, so you're able to follow it. And then I'm going to have inside the Gregorian form of the calendar, new moons, the feast days, and the scriptures that are linked to new moons, new moon Shabbats, and the feast days, respectively. So it's on you. Everything I'm posting when it comes to this calendar is all the scriptures that I found. And yet I have not seen any calendar, not Nick's, not Become Set Apart, not any calendar that people have posted where the sun or the calendar starts in the spring equinox. I have not seen anybody truly do their due diligence in refuting the information I have laid out when it comes to the new moon. Now, Become Set Apart's calendar is still up, and he's still following that the full moon is the first day of the month. Even though it says in Enoch 78:14 that when the light is first received upon the moon, it is the first day. I don't know why that's so confusing to people, because they keep coming to me, or they used to come to me and say, hey, you should follow this calendar, follow this calendar, follow that calendar. Then I had people try to throw me off and said, no, you got to follow this way, and that way. And I keep posting scripture. Now I don't hear from these people anymore. Funny. I used to see them in the comment sections of the episodes. Now I don't see them anymore. So now they've chose to walk away from the truth, or chose to walk away from correcting themselves and doing the proper calendar, which is not even my calendar. It's a calendar I found through multiple verses in scripture. For instance, Sirach 43:6-8 backs up everything I said when it comes to the new moon and the full moons. It says he made the moon also to serve in her season for a declaration of times, not the sun, but the moon, and a sign of the world. From the moon is the sign of feasts, a light that decreases in her perfection. Now, he didn't say this moon was going to be waning or waxing, or this moon is this. They didn't go into detail when it says that the moon is a sign of feasts. He meant all the feasts. And I'm talking about the three major feasts, which is Passover, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Those three major feasts are on the middle of the month, which the moon would be full. If you go to anybody else's calendar, those moons are all over the place. That's a telltale sign. This is not coming from me. This is coming from scripture. This is coming from people who were there and were following this calendar. I'm not making this stuff up. Regardless of what information you bring to me in an email, I'm not listening to it, because this is the information that's been put out there for thousands of years. We choose to make things up because we want the calendar to be convenient for our schedule in this world. It says the month is called after her name. What is the month called? It's called New Moon. Increasing wonderfully in her changing, being an instrument of the armies above, shining in the expanse of heaven. He's talking about, in this one verse, the progression of the moon, increasing wonderfully. If it's a new moon, that means light is being poured into the moon, and it will increase over time. I don't know how Become Set Apart is still, regardless of this information, is still posting his calendar month by month by month using the full moon. It makes no sense. And in claiming they're following Yahuwah, claiming they're following Yahusha, claiming they're producing the truth, and have yet not changed this based on the information that has been brought out. So now I'm going to go back on my Sight to the Blind Instagram page, and I'm going to bring his calendar out and compare it to scripture. And they're not going to hit me with this whole, oh, you got to go to him in private. That scripture was made, because this is what people who don't want to be corrected do. They throw that scripture right at me. Oh, you got to go to this brother in private. And if you don't do, then you got to bring it to the assembly. If you don't need to bring it to Yah, I'm not doing all that, because he's not even offending me. Because that's where it starts. It says, if a brother offends you, he ain't offending me. Not one bit he's not offending me. This got nothing to do with me, because I didn't create this calendar. I'm simply following. And if you are supposed to be producing the truth and you're supposed to lead people to Yahuwah and lead people to Yahusha, you have to be in truth, period. So I look at it very objectively, like this is wrong and I'm going to correct it. Just like I see all these other celebrities or actors out here doing these weird things with their hands, I correct it. I'm like, no, this is not what they mean. They mean this. Psalms 104, 19, it says, he made the moon for appointed feast. The sun knows his going down. He made the moon for appointed feasts. This is three scriptures backing up the feast days when the moon is full. If David is a man after the Most High's own heart, he said this, and this is in Psalms, then he must be right. And then there's multiple scriptures that talk about the moon and the signs of feast. 2 Chronicles 2:4. I built a house to the name of Yahuwah Elohai to dedicate it to him and to burn before him sweet incense and for the continual showbread and for the ascending smoke offerings morning and evening on the Shabbats and on the new moons and on the solemn feast of Yahuwah Elohanu. This is an ordinance forever to Yasharel. Don't see anybody talking about it no more. That's still going to be the hill in which I die on. No one has been talking about, not even the One West camps, are talking about ascending smoke offerings, because people keep confusing ascending smoke offerings with ascending smoke sacrifices for sin. And this is not what we are on. We are on truly giving tithes and offerings when we are blessed monetarily. And the way we show our appreciation is using ox, steak, lamb, whatever, to put upon an altar and burn it to a crisp and to the Most High Yahuwah. A sister came to me and said, ascending smoke offerings would be almost toxic to eat if you just eat it off the wood and off the altar. I said, I'm not even doing all that. I'm giving the whole thing to the Most High Yahuwah. I'm not what they did back then, which was burn it a little bit and then they ate it. I'm not even doing all that because I'm not even sure that's even sanitary for me to eat the meat like that. And I'm not even going to try. So I'd rather just give the whole offering to the Most High Yahuwah from whatever he gave me into my pocket. That's what I'm giving to him. That's the proper way of offering. It has nothing to do with sin. 2 Chronicles 8:13, after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moshe on the Shabbats and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts, three times in the year, even in the feast of Matzah, in the feast of Shavuot, and in the feast of Sukkot. You have to offer anyway by offering made by fire in these three major feast days. Ezra 3:5-52. And after that, the continual oblations and the sacrifice of the Shabbats and of the new moons and all holy feasts. Same ordinances and statutes that run on forever. 1 Maccabees 10:34. I will that all the feasts and Shabbats and new moons and solemn days and 3 days before the feast and 3 days after the feast shall be all of immunity and freedom for all the Yehudim in my realm. This is the Grecian king saying that, oh, we are allowed to now go back to our new moons, our solemn days, our Shabbats, our feast days, because we were giving them hell. We wouldn't allow his rulership to rule because, of course, Yehuda Maccabee and his brothers were tearing up the Grecians. So he had to try to bow out. But even he knew of our Shabbats, new moons, solemn days, and feast days because he was there. For some reason, we don't think it don't matter anymore because we living in the Gregorian calendar and we have to work all our lives or work in this system. So what would be the point of doing it? Jubilees 1:15. They will forget all my Torah and all my commandments and all my judgments and will go astray as to the new moons and Shabbats and feasts and jubilees and ordinances still today. So I understand what's going on now since people have been listening to the truth. People are not looking for correction or looking how to do things better for the Most High. People are looking now to be academic. They're trying to set up debates or set up, arguments to pinpoint every little thing that somebody is missing in the scripture as it correlates to a parable. I witnessed this. This is why I don't stay. I stay out of the comment sections. Truly, that's why I don't respond to anything, because it's not necessarily okay. This is what we need to do. How can we do this better? It's never those conversations. Those conversations are dead now. Now it's coming. Oh, you missed this point. Oh, what about this point? Oh, what about that point? Or I read about this point. The point that you brought up later, like. I'm not even into all that. If that's what you want to do, you want to debate and argue and you want to show how much you learned, start your ministry. Start your ministry. I said that this was the natural progression once you get into the truth. Once you get into the truth, then you, if you have that voice, if you have that itch, you have that calling over you to go in and spread it, go spread it, my man. Go spread it, sis. Spread it. I told you before, people eventually leave this show. I'm not expecting people to stick around, you know, for the 4 or 5 years that I'll be on, you know, on this podcast. The natural progression is for you to leave this show and go do your own thing. It's the same thing that worked with me. When I came into the truth, it was Thoughts, Camera, Action. It was Call for an Uprising. That's when I originally started. I originally started off with Call for an Uprising. I was with that dude in the beginning. And then I was like, all right, I could do this. Then I moved away from him. Then I got into Pastor Darby, as we all have. I got into Pastor Darby. And then I outgrew Pastor Darby because I started to realize what he was trying to do was to merge Israelite culture into Christian culture. And this is the reason why I think the Most High struck him down before he created this missionary mission that he was going to be on, where he was going to take a couple of Christian pastors and they were going to go speak Christian and Israelite culture and ideology and theology in Africa. That's what he was planning. That's what he was preparing to do. He was preparing to share the word as a Christian doctrine back in Africa. And before that happened, he got struck down. And people say, oh, you know, he's speaking too much truth, blah, blah, blah. That had nothing to do with it. Because it wasn't the money that he was doing it for. Later it was, because after, you know, obviously you speak too much truth, your congregation, it shrinks. So if your whole thing is to make money off pastoring, of course, after a time, you know, the cost of living is going up. After a time, you got to start doing these little PSAs before your ministry, talking about, oh, you got to sow a seed. And this book in Galatians and this book in there said, oh, you got to sow a seed for your pastor. And then that's what he was doing after a while. After all, and then it became about money. Money and moving to Africa or going to Africa to spread Christianity, as if it ain't already enough Christianity in Africa. Second Colossians 16-17, it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a feast day or of the new moon or of the Shabbats, which are a shadow of things to come for the body of Mashiach. So wherever the body goes, the shadow will fall. So if you are following the Mashiach, you are also following the feast days. That's what most people, you know, misunderstand about Paul. If you are in the body of Mashiach, you are doing exactly what the body requires for you to do, for you to stay behind it, which is these feast days, which is the statutes and ordinances that come with the feast days, and also the solemn days, the new moon feast days, and the new moon ordinances. That's what comes with it. Jubilee 636, for there will be those who will assuredly make observations of the moon, how it disturbs the seasons and comes in from year to year, 10 days too soon. If you are on a solar only calendar, you don't know if this prophecy is even happening right now because you're following the sun and you are not following the moon. So for those who will assuredly make observations of the moon, how it disturbs the seasons, this is how I know we are on the right track. I said this before, like before I get into Enoch 74 and Enoch 80, but I said this before, the fruit aren't it's not coming on my mango tree in its due season. It's coming early and then it's withering away, or it's coming late. The mangoes, when I first moved into this place, it was when May came, them things was all over that tree. Now they're off. I could tell when they're off. That's still a sign of prophecy. If you're only following the sun, how can you fit three? You're fitting 364 days only because scripture said it was 364, but you're fitting 364 on a solar only calendar. So you have no new moons. So if your new moons are off, then I guarantee you your feast days are off. If your feast days are off, your Shabbats are off. So that's why most people who are on a solar only calendar are doing Friday to Saturday Shabbats. Friday to Saturday Shabbats. That is the only way you can make your calendar work, and you're using the Gregorian calendar to do so. So it's easy to do 364 in a calendar that's already set up to be 365. You can easily do 364. But you are missing the prophecy and not following the moon and knowing that the time has been sped up. So this is why we know we're in the days of Noah. This is why we know that the years would be shortened, so that the elect would be saved. This is how we know that we are at the door. If you continue following a solar-only calendar, you have no idea when the Most High is going to come back. You don't. Because you're not following it, even the prophecies in Scripture that mention how the calendar would be off, how the moon will be off. So Enoch 74:13, it says, the moon brings on all the years exactly, not the sun brings on all the years. It is the moon that brings on all the years. We've given so much credit to the Neanderthal and the European for creating a sundial on the ground. But the Most High has used the moon in the sky and had the sun pour into the moon as a sundial or as a calendar right in front of our faces that we take it for granted. If he just wanted the moon to shine in the nighttime, he would have made it full moon year-round, that the moon wouldn't have any phase. But there's a reason why the moon has phases, because it's used as a calendar. I say again, if he wanted the moon to just be a light in the sky, just like he had the sun just be a light in the daytime, he would kept the moon full. The moon brings on all the years exactly, that their stations may come neither too forwards nor too backwards a single day, but that the years may be changed with correct precision in 364 days. In 3 years, the days are 1,092. In 5 years, they are 1,820. And in 8 years, 2,912 days. And the reason why it's hard to do that now, because we can't get a 364-day calendar because we're following the moon. I can't change the moon to add 10 more days. It would throw the entire calendar off. Even if I stopped at 354 and said, okay, I'm going to use this 10 days, I would still be off in my moon phases, and I wouldn't be able to restart. I wouldn't be able to restart the first day of the month at a new moon, because it would be all over the place, which means I would throw everything off. Then my calendar would look like 366, 370-something, 380-something, or 330s, it would be all over the place. So I'm literally following the moon as it's going. I'm not changing anything, because I'm not the one that changed the station of the moon. I'm not the one that's speeding up time. Why am I trying to fix something that the Most High Yahuwah wanted to happen? Enoch 85-9, it says, in those days the fruits of the earth shall be late, and not flourish in their season. And in their season, the fruits of the trees shall be withheld. The moon shall change its laws and not be seen at its proper period. But in those days shall heaven be seen, and the barrenness shall take place in the borders of the great chariots in the west. It shall shine more than the orders of light, while many chiefs among the stars of authority shall err, perverting their ways and works. Those shall not appear in their season who commanded them, and all the classes of the stars shall be shut up against sinners. The thoughts of those who dwell on the earth shall transgress within them, and they shall be perverted in all their ways. They shall transgress and think themselves gods, while evil shall be multiplied among them. This is the time that we are in. Increasingly, this is the time. But the moon shall change its laws. How do you know this if you are in a solar-only calendar starting in the middle of March and using the seven-day creation theory, which it doesn't say anywhere in Scripture that is the start of a calendar, that he created the sun and the moon on the fourth and fifth day, and this is where we start this calendar, and you roll that into, the sixth day or the seventh day he rested, and it happens to always be on Friday evening to Saturday evening. I've seen about three or four solar calendars, and they all have Friday to Saturday evening Shabbats. I don't know how that is even possible, especially when you're starting on different, some are starting March 20th after the spring equinox. That don't say to do. That's more pagan than anything. And then April, and then some are even in May. So the website that's coming, I'm going to have all these scriptures, all of them, for understanding. And nobody else can, like I said, nobody else has ever gone through the scriptures and posted anything in scripture when it came to the calendar. I've just seen people post calendars without any explanation of how they got to where they are now. Don't even see it. And like I said, the Become Set Apart calendar is not even explaining it either. He's not even explaining the scriptures. He's having these 3 to 4 hour YouTube episodes trying to explain it using multiple translations, but still not pulling out the ones that bounce off each other. When I just mentioned Sirach 43, 6 through 8, when it comes to the new moon. I don't know how he's still going with the whole full moon is the first day of the month. But people still follow. That's usually, to me, that's a sign of somebody who's a true teacher. Is when you're wrong, you admit that you're wrong, and you do as much as you can to correct it and move on. I said this about the community before. Because people have never been popular, or people have ever listened to them, I'm talking about more than like 10 people, because of this, people rely on their ego and pride to get them through correction. So they don't mention that they're wrong. They just either keep going doing what they've been doing, or they cover it up and just bounce to something else. And like I said, if you haven't been in the limelight, if you haven't been there and been corrected in front of people before, being corrected in private or being somebody else correcting you and you correcting yourself, that's going to be always a struggle, especially in this walk. I don't know how people truly expect to heal if you don't admit when you need correcting. And if you've never gone to the Most High Yahuwah yourself in your prayer closet and say, I'm stupid, I don't know what I'm doing, I need to be corrected, then I don't know what you're doing in this walk. Are you just in this walk to learn enough for you to mildly be corrected and then try to have an academic conversation about scripture to everybody else when you yourself aren't following all of the scriptures? Like I said, people, that social media really puts people in that, think they're on a red carpet. They can never be touched. They can never be corrected. They can never be talked to. And as soon as they, you know, you offend them, then they come to you hat in hand, like, oh, you could have just came to me in private. I ain't doing none of that, to tell you the truth, because don't nobody do that to me. Well, they did, but by that time I was being corrected, Yah was already telling me I needed to correct myself. That's why I said, the Most High, when you are supposed to be corrected, the Most High will come to you privately, because he ain't about embarrassing you unless you're doing something so outrageous in front of his face that you need to be embarrassed in public for. But for the most part, he's coming to you in private. He will humble you in private. And it's okay, now that you know the truth, go correct yourself. And if you don't correct yourself, he'll send people in public view of you to correct you for him. That's how it works. That's what the prophets were for. That's what the apostles were for. So many people think that the Most High is going to come out of the sky and smack them upside the head, like, nah, you need to do this right. This is why he sends his children. This is why he set this organization up. That's why he set it up so he wouldn't have to do it every single minute. He raised up people who knew the truth. He raised up Levites. He raised up the prophets, apostles, messengers, sent his angels. He did all of this so we'd be able to correct ourselves. Oh, okay, now I got to change over and do something new. But in social media world, people are so scared to lose followers when they have to come out and say, oh, I'm sorry for leading people the wrong way. That's like too much for some reason. So Lindsey Graham, I know you don't care, but the Republican senator that died recently, he was over at in Russia showing this weapons facility in Ukraine. Like drones. Like that's the war these days. For people that's bloodthirsty, they're finding ways for machines to take over doing wars, which really I think is the Most High's thing, that he wants wars now to become machines because man trusts in machines, and that's going to be the recompense in which man will fall through his own devices. So they're basically going to be able to turn these machines on man and laugh and joke because they, you know, they think they're smarter than the Most High Yahuwah. But he was over there showing off this drone weapon facility, and Russia struck it. And they're not saying that he died over there. They're saying he died from a sudden illness. But he was over there talking about how he was getting ready to come back and meet with Senator Blumenthal about how to stop the war in Ukraine and Russia. And he just didn't make it. So it's looking like that when they took out that drone facility, that he was still there and they just destroyed it. Which they could use later and say, oh, you know, Russia killed, you know, Senator Graham, and it makes us want to go to war. I mean, they could play that card on us. They could. I mean, it almost looks like a whole Uriah situation. When David sent Uriah to the front lines of a war, he ends up dying, and then he ends up taking Bathsheba because of it. It's almost like, you know, sending Lindsey Graham out there to die. I mean, 71 years old, and he dies on 7/11. And we know that 7/11 is an inverted in 9/11. And even his name, Lindsey Olin Graham, it's 1116 in Sumerian. If you flip that upside down, it really reads as 9/11/2001. So they did this 2 days after his birthday. After his 71st birthday, they're like, yeah, we already got this dude's life planned out. And I posted on my 2 Larry Johnson 7 of Lindsey Graham putting his hands in the pyramid. So I'm a Mason with a Masonic death. That's what they're used for. Now, he also could not be dead. He could, you know, live out his life in the underground city or underground bunker that they built out there in Colorado. You know, they could do that, but I think they like death a lot more. And of course, the exchange of this man's life is now they get to pick, or the governor gets to pick, what politician, what senator is going to fill his seat, because it has to be filled. He could go Democratic or he could do Republican. But I guarantee you, whoever they pick is going to be a Freemason as well, is going to be a puppet of Israel. So it's really no purpose. It doesn't make any sense. And they do all this just to prove to you that average Americans have a fair shot in this political system. That's the lie that they tell you. That's why your parents and your parents' parents have always voted in every election, because they believe that their decision-making has power over where this world is going, or where this country is going, where the state is going. And it's all going in the same direction. And people don't see that when they go and vote. Like, you haven't changed anything. All these churches in America, all these different religions, and yet they still struggle with Satan moving this country right into the Antichrist. All this faith that people have, and it has not once deterred anything that the Most High is going to do to this country and what he's going to do to the rest of this world. Not one bit. And I was scrolling, going down TikTok, because anytime I have like a little spiritual block or brain block of what I'm going to do with these episodes, I usually go to like social media to see what the ear of the street is, to see what they're saying out there. And I just happened to run across Christine Wells Wansley's TikTok page. And for somebody who wanted to remain secret and remain private, they have been doing very public things. Meeting with Al Sharpton. I mean, they follow the same blueprint that all these police brutality victims followed, especially when they really want to put them on national TV and use them for something. Now, mind you, those were his friends. So it stops really being about races when that's the group he hung out with. Those are the people that he hung out with. He hung out with white boys, and not just white boys. He hung out with black boys too. He hung out with everybody. But they're framing it as if this is a racial issue. And the reason why you believe it's a racial issue is because the little incident that happened with quote unquote Marquise, of a bunch of white boys taunting him, saying that he was less than because he didn't know how to swim. And now we thinking, or we, there's a rumor going around that Nolan Xavier Wells couldn't swim. That is also a lie. So now she's on TikTok thanking New York. She's like, thank you, New York City, for being the platform for my husband and I to advocate for our son, Nolan Wells. Special thanks to our legal team as well. I can't thank everyone enough for all of you all's love and support. God bless and stay safe. And it's a picture of the city, wherever the hotel they were staying in when they did that show. Mind you, she wanted to stay secret and she wanted to stay private. Like, even if you're wrapped up in a murder case, you don't say nothing. Regardless if you were the defendant or you were the victim, it don't matter. You don't say nothing. Because every word or everything or every move you make, your opposite is going to pay attention to that and know when to ask questions, when not to ask questions. They want to know how much you know of. And she's been out there running her mouth with her husband, explaining what they know. So if I'm a lawyer, I'm paying attention to everything that comes out of her mouth. So I know what questions to ask, what questions I need to stay away from when I cross-examine her, when I find out what really went on. Or if I'm trying to defend my clients, I know what I can't get into. And if I know that she's lying about something, or I know she doesn't know about something, I'm going to press the issue and make it seem like that she's not that close with her son, that she didn't know that her son was living a double life. I mean, I could do all that just watching them. But they wanted to remain private. They wanted you to respect their privacy, yet she on two different platforms, Facebook and TikTok, talking about her son's death. 4 days ago, she talked about, I'm missing my baby. And then all his friends, which are black and white, all his friends came over to her house and she just sitting on the couch. Why would you need to, fam, it's so weird and normalized right now that people, when their children die of traumatic circumstances, that you run the social media to now garnish this grief. Grief and being a victim is, like I said this before, it moves this system spiritually. Grief, fear, and being a victim. Like I said, there is no comment section for people who are strong. And when you speak on being strong, no one wants to hear about it more than just once. Like, okay, you conquered it. Why we need to keep hearing about it? People get annoyed. People, when it comes to being a victim of circumstance, they like it because it garnishes attention. People like paying attention to people who've gone through some traumatic experience. Why? Because you like to relate. And most people relate their fears with other people. They relate their victimhood with other people. They relate their traumatic experiences with other people. They go, oh, I also been through this. I see it in the comment sections all the time. People can't wait to tell a story about, oh, I went through this too. I did this too. This person did this to me. This is why I see so many posts about women in their failed relationships, because everybody knows a woman in a failed relationship. It's never no accountability going on. It's never say, hey, my eyes were blinded because I saw flesh. I didn't see this man's spirit and I didn't test this man's spirit, but I was caught up in my flesh and this is why I was with this man. It's never those secret, you know, those posts anymore. It's this man did this to me. Look what he's done to me. And then they sit back and read that comment section. Oh, girl, I'm with you. Yeah, he was a loser. My ex was a loser. My ex did this. And then y'all have a whole a community based on misery and you not being able to pick a proper mate. That's what it becomes. So when it comes to now, when children die or a traumatic circumstance happens to their children, then it's to run the social media and all the mothers who lost children, they create another community out of the community that they already have or are part of when it comes to victimhood and misery of losing a child. Then they create all these different communities across the internet to absorb worship. And that's all it is. It's worship. sacrificing, it's blood sacrificing into a worship. You give your child to this system. The system perverts your child, sets your child up to be destroyed, and now we are all supposed to feel sorry for you. I'm sorry, I will never feel sorry for these people, especially when I go down and know what she is. She has a vlog on TikTok. She hasn't stopped posting. In the midst of her child, her 18-year-old son dying over traumatic experiences, yet she finds time to thank a city, finds time to thank strangers, finds time to post videos behind the scenes of her misery. It is weird behavior. If you listen to the father speak, the father acts like he can't connect words into sentences. It feels like either he's nervous or he's just not used to public speaking, which is weird to me. He's a coach. So he should be fairly comfortable about speaking. Yet he stumbles through sentences. I don't see grief. I see them trying to force an ideology. I'm seeing them trying to force a narrative. She gets into book reading on her vlog. She has one book that she goes to. It's called The Secret World of Maggie Gray. And the other one is The First Family. And looking up what these books are that she's reading, the books are about a grad student that discovers her supernatural heritage at a hidden magical HBCU, where she faces murder accusations and an undeniable attraction to a werewolf who should be her enemy. It's literally sounding like the Black Twilight. The other one, The First Family, is a magical HBCU. At a magical HBCU, Namir investigates a murder that threatens to expose dark secrets while his growing attraction to Maggie Gray complicates his pack's mission. So think of if you've seen the movie Twilight, like a black Isabel, a black Bella, and a black Jacob, which is the werewolf. That's what she's reading. And she's reading these books and doing the vlogs about these books a month and weeks before her son's passing. And talking about God bless, and all of a sudden God comes into the picture. And they want you to feel sorry for these people. When you see what these people post and what they're really about, you feel sorry for them only on the fact that they don't know the truth. And they actually think the world they live in is the real world. That's why I go back to always 1 Proverbs 26-33. It says, I also, it ain't me, it's the Most High Yahuwah. He will also laugh at your calamity. He will mock you when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahuwah. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Benjamin Crump, Al Sharpton, this whole system. She's getting money from Colin Kaepernick, which is that's a telltale sign off jump. And Tyler Perry is paying for the funeral costs. So if they're paying for everything, these Prince Hall Freemasons, why does she need a GoFundMe? You and your husband work. Y'all work. You trying to tell me you don't have money to pay for your son's burial and you don't have money to pay for a defense team? So you went to get the most expensive lawyer, the most popular, expensive civil rights lawyer that you can find, and you're sending out GoFundMes? They're looking to get rich. Like I said, it's a reverse blood sacrifice. They're getting the money before everything ever goes through. They set themselves to get the money, then they give the child, and it works that way. Where I guess in the days of ancient, Babylon, in the days of ancient, Canaan, they was given the baby not knowing what they were getting in return, and whatever they sought, I guess they That's just what it was. They took care of them afterwards, is what I'm saying. They didn't take care of them and then, okay, give me your child. They were like, all right, I put faith in Moloch that he will give me riches. He will give me fame. He will give me popularity. And then those behind, working behind the scenes of the priest that set up this whole worship were like, okay, we're going to take care of this person afterwards. That's what they're doing now. They're selling them, their children out and themselves out before they make the sacrifice. Because the sacrifice has to look clean. It can't be any wrinkles in it. It can't be any denial in it. It has to be sacrificed from jump. And that's how I can tell that that's what it is. They're acting like they're oblivious to it, which is why the way they try to cry or force themselves to cry, it starts to look cringy. But again, if you see yourself also as a victim, you're going to understand victimhood. So you're not going to understand that they set this up for this to happen to this boy. She's out here reading magical books about murder. She ain't reading scripture. Not one Bible verse is in anything that she does. So then they're not even bringing up God. Like, oh, I know God has a plan. Both of them are not bringing it up in the interviews that they've had, the press conferences that they've talked at. I don't hear much of God even in their words. And if you look at his life, I mean, he's an 18-year-old kid, so you expect 18-year-olds to act like an 18-year-old. But if you look at his life, most of it is football and partying. At 18, he's underage drinking at 18. He had a seltzer at July 4th weekend, so he was drinking. Like I said before, the age to drink here, compared to the age when people drank in biblical times, I don't know. I ain't there. I don't know if they had a 21, like, you had to be 21 to do that. But I know what was on his mind is going out partying, and that's what he did. I mean, his mom lives like she's a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old influencer online, so she's paying more attention to her influencing life, and then the father is coaching. So, I mean, he may be a good kid, but it's a kid raised in this world. And if Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, I mean, shoot, if he wants to make you pray, he's going to put you on a platform so you know that you were his prey. Satan don't do anything in the dark. He wants to bring it to light, which is why they had this whole darkness to light campaign out of Freemasonry when we started to wake up. Around 2018, 2019, that's all you heard. Darkness to light, darkness to light, darkness to light. And they did very different variations of that wording to bring it into mainstream media. So they wanted you to know this is who we are, this is what we believe, and this is what we do. So if Satan's going to prowl around again like a roaring lion, he's going to put his sacrifices on a platform so you can see it. And if you have parents of teenagers, you have parents that are going to be teenagers, you better start getting them in check. You better start showing them what this world is, because they're not sacrificing people who know the truth. Now, if she lived her life in the Torah and all she posted the Torah, I guarantee you her son would be alive today. If he knew a little bit about the truth and wasn't out July 4th weekend and he wasn't having all these videos of him doing TikTok dances and at parties, he would be alive today. They exposed the life of these people so they could say, because you live just like these people, this is like a hidden joke that they do. Because you live the same life of these people, I'm going to show you that this is the life that they get sacrificed for. Satan's not putting anybody on Front Street about following that Torah. Nobody. You're not going to ever see a victim of police brutality. You're not going to see a victim of circumstance be put on mainstream media, and the first thing you see if you dig through his social media profiles is them talking about conspiracies, or if you're talking about the Torah. The reason why we know Isaac Cappy, the actor who talked about there were all these other actors that were into being pedophiles and satanic ritual abuse, the reason why we know Isaac Cappy now more than we knew that he was even an actor is because we learned it under, away from mainstream media. So they would never put Isaac Cappy on Front Street and say, oh, this is the person that was... They would try to humiliate him and say, okay, he didn't know the truth. He was out making up conspiracies and lies, and he just happened to commit suicide and threw himself off the bridge. That's about as far as it's going to go. They're not going to give him a puff piece and go talk to his family and find out more about what he was saying. They're not going to do that. And the reason why he got clipped is because, again, he wasn't following the tour. Like, yeah, you could expose what they've been doing. Like, a lot of conspiracy theories think they're safe because they are exposing what Satan is doing, exposing what these people are. But at the end of the day, if you are not serving the Most High Yahuwah, if you're not searching after him, you're not gifted a hedge. You're not gifted any protection. I mean, the Most High can sit you down and bring somebody else in your place that's going to follow him and know the same information that you know. So don't get high-minded and think, oh, I'm going to really survive this system if I just know these conspiracy theories. If I can post the truth about some of these conspiracy theories, I'm straight. I'm good. The Most High would never remove me. Even though I'm not serving him, he would never remove me because I'm out here showing the truth. Don't get too high up on yourself. Like I said before, what you know, he could pass that knowledge on to somebody else because it is his knowledge that we get this from. He says in the last days, I will pour out my Ruach upon all flesh, that your sons will have dreams and visions, your daughters will be able to prophesy. This is what he says. As soon as that Ruach is poured out, that's his calling us back to him. If we, you know, some people choose to sit in conspiracy and don't follow the Most High Yahuwah, and they think, oh, okay, I'm safe as long as I'm not like these people. It's not going to work that way. He's bringing everybody to the ark. Those who choose to bow are going on to that ark, and those who choose to stand there are going to be used against everybody else in defending that ark. And then let your actions be what's going to come, you know, upon you in your judgment day. We will be judged by what we say. We will be judged by what we do. And more so, we will be judged by what we don't do. Especially when we have knowledge of it. So I'm excited about this calendar. I'm excited. Because now I can stop worrying about posting the post every other month and all that. And I hate making mistakes on it because my mind is all over the place. But now it will be a full website. It's going to be decorative. It's going to be nice. And then over time, I'm going to put the maps, all the maps that I found, and referencing why I chose the Southern Hemisphere over the Northern Hemisphere. I'm going to put the maps on, and the cartographer who created the maps. What else? I think pretty soon, I want to start getting into doing memorabilia or like t-shirts or something like that for the site, Sight to the Blind. I think it's a cool design when I got that logo. The first one, not the second one where you see my face as a cartoon, but the first one where it has the Sight to the Blind and the sunglasses. I think I could do something cool, like They Live type of thing, where I could put Sight to the Blind and use, you know, I don't know, just being creative, I guess. Not that I need the money, because obviously I could just donate that money, but it's just cool to have a website and have things up running when it comes to the scripture. And I'm thinking about doing a whole breakdown for that website of all the scriptures I found and why I follow the calendar and why I choose the Southern Hemisphere. So I may do like a little mini documentary with all the verses, and hopefully people have more understanding of why they need to be on this calendar, because if you're missing the new moon, then I guarantee you your Shabbats are wrong. If your Shabbats are wrong, your feast days are wrong. And the Most High said that we would be wrong in all of the Shabbats, feast days, solemn days, and new moons, because we choose to follow the ignorance of these other nations, and we choose to follow things based on our convenience and not our inconvenience. This is how you know you're on the right track and leaving the system, is when you become inconvenient. That's how you know you're on the right path. Trying to be convenient in this system that's rapidly changing, when time is going by fast, If you're looking for convenience, you are going to err when it comes to scripture. If you become inconvenient, that means you're on the right path and you're trying to forge a path where it stays truly on Yahuwah, and Yahuwah is going to remove the stumbling blocks, snares, and pitfalls out of your way so you can stay on his path. He understands that we are in the land of our captivity. He understands that we are still babes in this walk when it comes to his ways and his pleasure. We are still new at this. We're not seasoned vets. So he understands that we're going to make mistakes. He even said so. But truly relying on him to set our ways and our paths straight, that in itself is why we get the protection. He's not going to remove us if we're striving towards him. He's not going to cut us down or cut us short of his glory if we're doing everything that we need to do for him. I haven't read that where, like, oh, I see this person limping and falling down trying to get to me. Let me cut his life down and his household down just because. Nowhere in scripture does it say this. But it does say that to people who turn back. It does say that to people who are not trying to search and seek him.